This is Comics Therapy, episode 70. No reviews, just analysis. I'm Andrea Shockling, and my co-host, as always, is the grumpy, jelly, and especially passive-aggressive Aaron Myers. Up this week, I'm going to talk about Image Expo, and Aaron's going to whine because he wasn't there. It's going to knock your socks off, though. And yeah, you know the drill. We never do reviews, but we do talk a lot. So while I think we're in the clear with spoilers since none of these exist yet, consider this your general warning.
Welcome to Comics Therapy. Neither Andrea nor I are licensed therapists, so don't take anything we say seriously. In between shows, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron Myers and Andrea at Andrea Shock. The show account for both of us is at Comics Therapy.
It's nice how you got that little dig in there, even though everybody knows week in and week out that I don't actually have access to the Comics Therapy Twitter account ever.
Because you don't really care about the show.
You are so grumpy already and we haven't even started talking.
I know.
How much did you drink yesterday to get through the pain of not being here?
Not that much. I mean, enough, you know, like a beer and five shots.
That's a lot for you.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't think you know what?
I discovered on Time Hop this morning, which is sometimes my favorite part of my morning, a little trip down memory lane, if you will, that today, a year ago, was Image Expo when you were here, as opposed to yesterday when you weren't.
That was fun.
It was. I was reminded of all kinds of things, like you fucking up where to go at the airport. And, oh, this is a good one. 9:36, and I'm already driving Myers bananas. Success? I think it was. I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, current status waiting for the keynote. Haven't murdered Myers yet.
Hmm.
Oh, memories.
I guess so. Sounds like you had a much better time yesterday without me.
Well, I wouldn't say it was better because you weren't there.
So was yesterday better because last year we were so new to, you know, quote-unquote comics reporting?
But we weren't. I mean, we had been doing the show for like 8 months by then. And before that, I had been writing. And we certainly, between the two of us, had been reading and talking and being part of comics. It wasn't like we were fucking green.
No, well, I mean, from my perspective, though, that was the first, even though it's open to the public, that was the first, like, press event that after the public presentation was over with, we were in the press area for the rest of the day.
Sure, but it wasn't for me.
Okay, so I guess maybe for me it was more of a new experience.
Right. And we've talked about that, and I think that has influenced the way that you approach cons and interactions with people in real life since then. But no, yeah, I think that there were big changes to the structure of the event yesterday from a year ago, which we'll talk about a little bit.
Okay.
And I think that influenced the access and my retention of the information and certainly the kinds of conversations that we had yesterday versus a year ago. We can compare and contrast. I've got some numbers. I did a little bit of homework even. But
from the con last year or from the expo last year to this year?
Yeah. Okay. Just looking at some of the things that were announced and what the results of the announcements. There's a big difference between an announcement of a book that is intending to be published and a solicitation. And actually, there's a difference sometimes between a solicitation and then like what actually shows up every week at your comic shop. And so looking back at Image Expo last January to today, what was announced? What actually materialized? How did the ones that debuted perform after their number one? And so on and so forth. I think that's pretty interesting.
Can I ask you something even before that, though?
Yeah.
Is Image Expo relevant?
Well, that is, I don't think, the right question.
Okay, what is the right question then?
I think that if you're going to say, is Image Expo relevant? You have to put a qualifier to whom?
To people that buy and read comic books.
Okay. Image Expo is an opportunity to focus on one publisher, obviously, and what that publisher has positioned itself to do is present a lot of new books by a variety of both up-and-coming and established creators with free rein to tell the stories that they want to tell in the format that they want to tell them, and showcasing those offerings in a way that is exclusive and unique outside of the traditional methods of communicating, i.e. just a press release or an announcement at a con. That's the purpose of Image Expo. It's a media event, although there is also a like retailer arm. I was interested to find out how many general public tickets were available. It's actually more than half of the available spots went to just, you know, regular people who wanted to attend. And in terms of content for them, it's accessibility to some of these creators that are actually a little difficult to get to at more popular or larger attended events.
Mm-hmm. You know, can I even add a caveat to that? It has become, I'd say, at least a third of the publicly sold tickets are to people who are comic speculators and resellers who are there solely to get the exclusives, get them signed, and put them on eBay as quickly as possible.
There was a limit on the exclusives this year. There were only five available. No, that's a lie. There were only four available, but you could only buy one per person. One of each per person.
I understand.
You couldn't go and buy multiple copies and then just be an asshole about that.
Or if you bring all your store employees and each of you buy a ticket and buy that.
I'm not saying that there aren't loopholes. Like, if you're gonna be a dick, you can always be a dick. It's just there was an awareness of the potential for that.
Yeah. I think I definitely saw Image trying to curtail it being a a money making opportunity for comics flippers.
So let's talk about what was actually announced. And we don't have to go through the list. I mean, you guys all have the internet. You can read the books, the creators, the rough timeline for some of these. But I want to talk about some of the themes. Like, last year we made an observation that a lot of the books were science fiction in orientation. And, like, that was fucking rad because I love science fiction. I want to know if you noticed a trend hearing the announcements coming out, or if there were any reoccurring themes that stuck out to you.
I mean, I guess it is like what you had pointed out to me, and I don't think it is as pervasive this year as it was with sci-fi last year of, kind of that life and death or spirituality sort of themes.
Gods and mortality is what I sort of wrote down.
Yeah, and I think there's a handful of books that definitely fall into that, and probably most comics deal with that in one way or another too. So,
I was thinking that it was sort of stupid to say, "Gosh, a lot of these are science fiction in their focus," because obviously comics allow for that unique world building that you don't have the parameters of film or television. But, I mean, so does prose. I guess maybe it's just that science fiction had fallen slightly out of favor. And we are several years into a resurgence of it. So yeah. I think that's rad.
Big way, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the sci-fi and the space and magic supernatural elements were still present in several of the other books as well. There were a couple of lighter comedic takes on those bigger genres as well, which is cool.
I have a question about that trend, and this doesn't necessarily have anything special, you know, to go with Image Expo. But to me, I don't even want to say it because I'm afraid of the ridicule I'll get for being, you know, the guy who doesn't like fun. But how much room in the industry is there for satirical comics?
Let me push back and get you to clarify what you consider a satirical comic.
A comic that is taking a genre that is popular and doing and satirizing it. So
is Rat Queens a satirical comic?
No. Rat Queens is not a satirical comic.
Okay.
Because Rat Queens isn't aware of itself.
But give me an example of a you're hedging. Do you mean the fourth wall breaking? Are you looking for like the Deadpool of the science fiction comic?
Not necessarily. That's why it's hard for me to define. Like it's hard for me to say like this is too much. This is too self-aware. This is too much winking, you know, at the reader. You don't have to like speak to the reader to be speaking to the reader.
So is Sex Criminals a satirical comic? Because Sex Criminals has a lot of that winking to the reader.
No, because Sex Criminals, I don't feel, is reflecting and satirizing an established kind of comic that
I agree,
you know, other than a 1960s romance comic or something, you know,
what is though my answer to you is yeah, there's room because you have yet to come up with an example of something that fits what you think there isn't room for.
Yeah, maybe it's not so much in the independent world.
Maybe is this another conversation about how much you hate Secret Avengers?
I mean, yeah, I like to get in at least once per episode.
Awesome.
Okay. So now we can move on.
Fantastic.
No, I think there's at a certain point we're going, as independent quote unquote comics get bigger and bigger, they will establish their own kind of like universe, you know, even though they're not connected. It'll be like this is an Image comic because it is an Image comic in the way it feels and looks.
Okay.
As loose as that might be. You know,
very, very loose.
And they're actually, you know, back in the 90s, there were plenty of like the same sort of like satirizing the Image Comics world.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, that was different because it was a superhero kind of mockery.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're not far off from somebody putting together the new Image Comics, you know, satire book.
Yeah, I guess. I don't see that as a threat. First of all, I don't see satire as a threat unless it's done poorly, in which case it's not threatening, it's just annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But when Chip Zdarsky announces a book that he's writing, as opposed to drawing, right, mm-hmm. that has some of the fun, lighthearted elements of a good science fiction comedy, but at the core has a lot of heart, that is a premise that I can get behind. That is something that sounds like there's depth behind it, that it's not satire, as a matter of fact, that you can have fun without being a waste of space. Okay. And so I think that there's a lot of room for that in comics right now. One of the biggest arguments in favor of Secret Avengers that you and I happen to disagree with, and that's fine because everybody has different taste buds, is that it's fun and that comics can be fun. I'm not going to say should be, but comics can be, and there's room for comics that are just lighthearted and fun. That then is up to the reader to decide what kind of fun they want. More of a slapstick, wink, wink, nudge, nudge sort of fun, or something like Rat Queens, which takes an existing genre and inverts some of your expectations and makes it bawdier, and so it's clever fun. I mean, there's like lots of different kinds of fun, right? Just like there's lots of different kinds of action and lots of different kinds of drama and murder and mayhem. Comics can be all kinds of things. I didn't hear anything yesterday, just to bring it back to Image Expo, that made me feel like, well, we've got six of this already, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
There is, though, there is a question of hype versus payoff. And if you look at, like, last year's numbers, there were 20 announcements. There were 13 that actually debuted. Two of those we've only had one issue of. Like, mm-hmm. Odyssey and Bitch Planet, like, are super, super brand new.
Right.
But 7 out of the 20 just, like, still don't exist. And even of the ones that came out, the books that people are still talking about compared to the hype when the announcement was made don't necessarily match up. That's not a reflection of quality, right? I think quite a bit of what came out of the expo is quality comics. But it's not the numbers, the individual issue numbers, the sales. I hate to make it be about money, but the sales are not like blowing anybody up out of the water, even with books that we all really love.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a thing. It's not a thing. It's not a judgment thing. It's just a thing to be aware of, that the hype, when you have a singular publisher event, just like an Apple event, right? You've got this hype around the singular focus. And how does that translate when then you bring all of the other players back into the game?
Right.
Image isn't the only book that, or publisher with books on the shelf. When you have an event that's only focused on Image, you forget the fact that, like, next Wednesday there are going to be how many other books competing against the cool stuff that was announced.
I mean, numbers can get pretty boring too, but I would be interested to look at, they say, you know, Image has like 10% of the market share now. Of that,
yeah, 10.41 is what Eric Stevenson
right,
said yesterday.
I bet of that 10.41, it's probably a dozen Image books that actually make up that 10.41.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
if that, absolutely. You know, if that.
You can find this information pretty readily on the internet. Diamond publishes it all. Yeah. And a lot of sites then take those numbers and do an analysis, or at least put it into narrative format so that it's maybe not so intimidating if you're not into numbers. I don't want to get into that, and I don't think you do either. I just think that it's worth noting that yesterday was a hype event. It was a media event. It's not a con. We talked about that last year. It's not the same as some of these other more broad comics experiences. However, there is actually something, to go back to your very first question, there is something to be gained attending Image Expo as just a reader. I think that they've really done more to beef up the content. David Brothers was running panels all afternoon. I'm like a huge, huge fan of the way that he moderates panels and the kinds of insight that the audience can get listening to the questions that he poses to various creators and just the structure and themes of the panels themselves. There were signings, obviously way more accessible than like at a larger event. And so just going to Image Expo as a guy, like, hey, I'm going to go to Image Expo because I live in the Bay Area. Right on. There was stuff for you to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. So the other thing that we haven't mentioned that I don't know if you noticed it. I don't know if I'm like extra sensitive to it right now because we fucking talk about it all the time, but man, a lot of these books had female protagonists. That was a thing.
Yeah, is that what's driving that trend?
Well, gosh, Aaron, I wonder if it's because we fucking talk about it all the time. not us, we, but like the universe right now is talking a lot about it. It is an opportunity to write stories with perspectives that are different from those that have been written and rewritten and told and retold. What we were saying before we started recording, though, and I think that this is obvious to anybody who paid attention to the lineup, out of the entire list, we've got 4 female writers. Alex DeCampi, Marjorie Liu, Emma Rios, and Kelly Sue DeConnick. Mm-hmm. That's solid. That's better than last year. If better is measured by quantity over quality.
Well, and that's not a reflection of the quality of the people that were there or anything.
No. It's just a numbers game. It's always a numbers game.
Yeah, what would be like what is satisfactory?
In terms of
the affirmative action makeup of the stage of Image Expo.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I think that's a fair question because it's a question that seems to be talked about every Image Expo so far.
Was it? I missed that conversation yesterday.
I don't think it's as big this year because maybe it's played out. You know, because last year it was, oh, look at all the white guys up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side of that is, well, everyone up there is a good creator who has a book they want to publish through Image.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It's like, do you need 3 Asian transgendered people and, you know, 2 black people and so-and-so and then 4, you know, white men to make it a good Image Expo? I don't know where it matters. Other than it's a reflection of people who are established already in the comics industry, right?
That's a tough one because that is certainly what is happening. That there is more of an emphasis on established creators returning to Image as, you know, to take advantage of the creator-owned opportunity instead of a bunch of up-and-coming kids with their first or second comic.
And can I, as a reader, I'd rather Image put out books from people who are already established in the comics industry and proven as creators who know what they're doing.
Why?
Because
why can you make that kind of general statement?
Because there are opportunities now for people to make and test out and learn how to make comics without needing a major publisher to do it.
But when you start talking about needing a publisher, that shouldn't be the metric. Yeah, you're right. There are lots of ways to publish your own comics. We have talked to many people who actually choose to publish their own comics instead of going through a publisher like Image. I don't think that making a blanket statement about up-and-coming creators shouldn't try to publish with Image, and you would rather read the books that Image publishes from established creators, it just doesn't hold a lot of water to me, because that's not a statement that is based on quality of content. That's a statement based on assumption of skill. And I think that's
sure that, but that's like saying
kind of bullshit.
That's like saying, hey, you know, the major league should be available to everyone. You know, just because you don't think they can throw a baseball, or you don't know if they can throw a baseball, doesn't mean that they can't. You know what? Probably, but they haven't proven that they can.
Wait. If you want to use a sports metaphor, then we can use a sports metaphor. You don't know anything about sports, but we can play this game. There are all kinds of ways where exceptions are allowed for people with skill, people with talent that is maybe ahead of the rest of the crowd in professional sports. There are farm teams and there are, you know, the lower level leagues where you then work your way up and you have the chance to play at the professional level. And if you can hack it, you can stay. And if not, then like, we'll see you next time you have that opportunity. I mean, that's
right. So I think my analogy,
but that's not like perfectly a blanket statement of like, don't come and play with us. If you can play with us, fucking play. It's great.
Okay. But in terms of this, it's a matter of, can you sell comics? Can you, and Image, the people on stage at Image Expo are not all the people publishing comics through Image. Like, we already know that Image is not a publisher like DC or Marvel. You know, you can publish your comic through Image or one of its imprints if you're willing to pony up the money and do it.
But it's still, it has to be mutually beneficial.
I agree.
Image isn't going to agree to publish, Image as an entity isn't going to agree to publish something that is going to be a waste of their time. Now, there are various levels of success expectations, of course. But not everything has to be the next Saga. Not everything has to be the next Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the expectation that that's what it's going to be is wildly unrealistic. But to approach it as a business venture that is mutually beneficial for both the creator and the publisher, I think is very appropriate. And if somebody new has pitched something that is fucking dynamite and you just want to take that chance, like that is a luxury that you get to have as a publisher of anything that doesn't preclude the opportunity to support up-and-coming creators. Like, you get to do both. You can decide how many of which kind you want to do. And, like, Image seems to be hedging their bets with, like, the more established guys coming back and, like, looking at these creator-owned books in a new way. But I totally don't agree that I wouldn't say I would rather read a book by an established creator. Because what if you miss out on something that is really, really fantastic by somebody new?
But I don't feel like I do. You're saying, I think you're also saying then that people look at the list of Image comics coming out, regardless of the names on them, and buy it because it has the Image comics label on it, like they would a DC or Marvel book.
Okay, so I have two responses to that. I think that's true for Image number ones, and I think that the sales actually back up that statement. Image number ones sell really well, and that is because they're Image number ones.
Nope. That is because they are number one creator-owned comics that speculators buy in bulk in the hopes that they get picked up for TV or movie rights.
Why do you ruin everything?
I'm telling you why Image number ones sell out and Image number twos have half to a third of the same sales numbers.
You think it's just because of speculators?
The speculator market drives Image number one sales hugely.
You are the most depressing individual.
I'm sorry, but it's a matter of the statistics not lying. It's people using statistics to tell the narrative that they want. And so if that's what they say on stage, I didn't read or hear what Stevenson said. So if part of the Image sale pitch is like, we sell out every number one,
no, my response. No, that's not what he said.
Or almost everyone.
He had much bigger picture things about market share and looking at trades specifically, at the importance of keeping the price point at the $299 to $350 range instead of bumping up to $399 or higher, the importance of the trades being available for
$999,
and looking at the long-term market share that Image has been able to hold on to with some of those trades, especially with titles like Saga and The Walking Dead, that kind of live on the bestseller list. But not just those, mm-hmm. several other ones. So it's really easy to look at the two most popular titles and be like, everybody wins.
Right.
Look at Saga, look at The Walking Dead. And forget, first and foremost, that as creator-owned properties, that isn't benefiting Image with the bottom line in the same way that a Marvel title or a mm-hmm. DC title that blows up
sure.
would affect them.
Yeah. And, but to get back to those number ones, like, I think Image, you're right. I think the core readership, especially the trade market, is going to be a lifeblood for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of individual sales, like the monthly sales numbers, the number ones will almost always sell out until the speculator market starts to slow down. And then if you look at the numbers after that, the hype train really drops off quick.
Yeah.
And then you get more of the core readership. Like, Image 3, or like, number 3 is a good kind of indicator of how a book is doing.
I think number 5, or I guess it would be, I think number 6 or 7, depending on what is included in the first trade, is a really important number.
Sure.
If 1 through 5 are in the first trade, or 1 through 6 are in the first trade, whatever the first one after that is I think the make it or break it issue for a series.
Mm-hmm. Because you still have to have enough people picking it up monthly to make it worthwhile, sustainable to publish.
Mm-hmm.
But that number doesn't have to be huge. It's actually relatively small. Once you found it out, it was like 7,000 to 10,000 copies.
Yeah, it depends on the book. It depends on, yeah,
like what the people need to survive. Who are making it?
What else they're doing?
Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
So anyway, this is all numbers and statistics, and probably horribly boring for most people.
I think it's necessary to like stop and take stock, though. Every, let's call it year, right? Because that's the reality. We're talking about a very, very small number. And yet the hype within our small community is so high
mm-hmm.
that I think it's important to keep perspective.
Yeah.
It feels bigger than it is because we want it to be, because it's exciting, because new is great. There were so many announcements yesterday that I'm excited about. There are books by Brian Wood, and there are books by Brian K. Vaughan and Cliff Chang, and there are books by Marjorie Liu, like I mentioned. I'll read all of the new books that were announced, straight up. Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire, right on, do it. But at the end of the day, the actual number of people who are into this, who are into comics, but then who are into comics that aren't Marvel and DC, is tiny. It's tiny. It's important to remember that we're talking about thousands of people. We're not talking about millions of people.
Yeah. You're not even talking about hundreds of thousands of people. It is in the tens of thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's cool, right? We're part of this like a little exclusive club. People who with discerning tastes in comics. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a high five. And it is something to be celebrated. And there is really great stuff coming out. But, you know, context. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun to be excited about comic books. I think I was very sad not to be there this year, but it also was, in my embitterment, it gives you that sort of like, you know, you have a clarity of rage. You know, the world, you can see the world perfectly through bloodshot eyes. There's a lot of cool announcements that'll kind of span throughout the year or maybe not show up at all. And
were you really sad?
Yeah, I was really sad.
Tell me why, because I don't get it.
Because there are people there that if you have press access, you get to talk to in a different way you would at a con.
Okay.
And that's the one event where it's sort of, it's different than a convention where they're behind a table, you're in front of the table. You know, you can have them sign some comic books. That this is more of a mixer.
Sure.
And there are people there that I would like to have that opportunity with to talk to as, you know, people.
So like talking to Brian and Cliff just casually.
Right.
You don't want to hear that story then.
No, it's fine. I'm glad you got to. I think you're better at that than I am. But I was sad that it didn't work out this year.
I am very charming, I think, is what you're trying to say.
You can be. I mean, I haven't witnessed it personally, but this is what I've been told.
I have to give a couple shout-outs, actually. I have to say hello to Abraham, who came up and introduced himself. A couple people did that at the party, but we actually had, like, a little chat, and it totally made my night. David Brothers and I were just sitting and debriefing and catching up and talking about Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer, which is a comic that he read recently, a manga. And in the middle of this extensive retelling of the plot of this, I have to find it, Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer. It sounds fucking amazing. A listener came up and, like, recognized me, which doesn't happen super often, and said, hey, and loves the show. And hi, Abraham, that was awesome. It's like really delightful to hear from you guys and to have that. I wasn't expecting it at Image Expo of all places. And that was super fun. So thanks for doing that. Don't be afraid to do that. 'Cause like, I'm very approachable and not creepy at all. I promise. Aaron, on the other hand, man, he is a problem, but I am charming and delightful. So that was great. That was super, super fun to hear that, you know, at least one guy out there is listening to the show. Thanks.
I think there's also more.
But yeah, just like 3 or 7 or something.
All right. I mean, it's okay to admit that, like, we have a listenership. Like, there's no way I would spend this much time talking to you if people weren't listening.
Oh, God, it always comes back to how much we're frenemies.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I have to give a shout-out to is Cliff Chang's shoes, because he is impeccable. Like, let's just put it out there that this man is just, man, so perfectly coiffed. His hair was amazing, and his outfit, but his shoes, he had like these high top Chucks, but they had little red hearts on the inside, and it was just a little moment, and I loved it, and he was just really fantastic to talk to. His book with Brian K. Vaughan, Paper Girls, is probably at the top of many people's anticipation list, so that's cool. That's out in August. And then Chip Zdarsky's with Kagan, and I need to look up what Kagan's last name is. Their book is out in April, and that's probably another one at the top of everybody's list. It starts with a K. I can't remember it. He told a little story about like where the title came from, being a derivative of Greek mythology, or I guess the original name for Crete is what he said. But I can't remember it, and I'm not actually a journalist, so I didn't write it down.
No kidding. This is not your source for news.
No, nope. Just chit chat, whatever. Chip's doing a signing tonight in San Francisco at Good Vibrations, which is an institution. It is a women friendly and women empowering sex toy shop and sexual education resource that is known all over the country. And of course, Chip is signing just the tips and anything else. He said he will sign anything else at Good Vibrations tonight. So I'm going to go, and it's going to be hilarious.
Sounds wonderful.
I'm sorry. Are you jealous of that too?
Whatever.
I can't, Aaron, I love you to death, but if you were in town, I don't think that I could go to a signing with Chip Zdarsky in a female-friendly sex toy shop and also have you be present. I think that that's the line right there.
That's so weird. Why?
I don't know. I think that there's a certain amount of awkwardness that would ensue that I probably couldn't handle.
That, like, I can't handle a sex shop?
I don't know.
I got news for you. You can find me at a lot of jerk booths around town.
Okay, yeah. See, it's statements like that that just really affirm that there's nothing about that I want to even consider.
I'm not uptight. I'm not uptight. You are.
No. No, I'm not uptight. I'm
delightful. You can protest all you want, but it sounds like you're a cold fish.
Oh my god. All of this has to get edited. Because it makes me sound like I'm something that I'm not. Hey, actually, on that note, our friend Abraham, our sole listener, fan number one.
Did he ask about me?
No. Why would he ask about you when I was there?
Ain't no friend of mine, then.
I'm adorable. Mm-hmm. You're Aaron. Mm-hmm. He did definitely make a comment about, like, the perception of level of drinking that I guess the internet associates with yours truly. And I had to break it to him that it's a lie. I had to let him in on the secret that it's just for show and that in reality I'm a pretty chill person and I'm not a fucking crazy kid.
I think it's probably halfway
somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I wouldn't say you're an alcoholic.
I'm not an alcoholic, and that's not even a thing to joke about.
But you like to drink.
Depending on the people, depending on my level of
depression.
I was so shut up. My level of depression. My level of exhaustion is what I was going for. Mm. I was so tired that by the end of the night, I fell asleep on the train on the way home.
That is a perfect end to a...
If you have this idea that Image Expo for me is like Emerald City or like New York Comic Con, I hate to break it to you, but those are like the 2 points of the year. Three, I guess, if you count San Diego, right?
keep adding. Christmas, New Year's. Birthdays.
Shut up.
Quinceañeras.
The party, like, last year was at the Cartoon Art Museum in San Francisco. So mm-hmm. That was good times.
Good.
I have gone the entire podcast without mentioning who I attended Image Expo with. And so when he listens to this, because he's already a little sad that he's not guest appearing, he's probably, like, squirming because I haven't brought him up yet. And it wasn't intentional. Sorry, Chase. But I should definitely say that Chase Magnet came into town from Omaha, Nebraska, all the way to San Francisco. For Image Expo. He was covering the event for comicbook.com, but that meant that we got to hang out, and pretty much it just meant that I got to tag along with him to all of his important, real journalism stuff.
Truly comic book inner circle.
Right. Like the actual guy who does the writing and the stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there was me just being charming.
Who just turns on a little microphone once a week and says that they're part of the comic book world. I'm delightful
in person. You can't discount that.
No, you are.
So, just because you hate me on the internet doesn't mean that the world does.
Without you, the show would have a few less listeners. Yes.
A few less listeners. Absolutely. Do you know about Lucifer and the Biscuit Hammer? I just want to go back to that for a second.
I do not.
Because you don't read manga at all, right?
I not out of, you know, any sort of protest or anything.
No, it's just that you read all the comics, so.
I very rarely have time to sit down and read things that are over 23 pages in length.
Me too. I haven't read a single comic this week, which is why, if you haven't noticed, we're not actually talking about comics, because I haven't read any yet.
Yes.
But David and I have been talking about manga and, like, which titles might be appealing to me. To add to my stack of things that I'm not going to read. But, like, at least I'll be slightly more informed about them.
Well, in an effort to salvage the wreckage of our broken marriage, my wife and I are reading books together and discussing them as a internal book club.
I know. Sometimes she texts me about them.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm part of your book club, even though I'm not.
Yep, you have invaded every part of my life.
Your wife is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I am privileged to be friends with her.
Look, all the horrible things that are said about me are true, and it's only my fault.
What did you and Chrissy read this week?
We've read... she finished Brian Lee O'Malley's Seconds, so we talked about that, and The Sculptor by Scott.
Oh, she did read The Sculptor?
She did read The Sculptor, yes.
Okay.
So that's what we've read so far. The Now Brown is next on our list.
Oh, is that a reread for you?
Nope, never read it.
Wow, okay.
Yep, I mean, I have 300 books on my shelves that are all supposed to be amazing books that I haven't read, so we're going to start chipping away at them.
Aaron, we should read stuff and talk about it.
Maybe next week.
Okay. That sounds like a plan.
I already have somebody I'm doing that with this week.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'll see if I can make time for you.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Anything else about Image Expo or, like, for the good of the order before we shut this shit down?
Nope. I just asked you to get me some comic books and you refused. So I'd like everyone to know that.
Way to ruin the surprise.
They have to be mint. They have to be mint.
Does that mean I had to take bags and boards with me to Image Expo?
Exactly. Do you remember what I did last year?
I do. It was adorable.
Yeah.
You don't... Do you want to know what I did this year?
Yes, because it'll take you 6 months to mail it to me.
I put them in my sketchbook, so I didn't just, like, throw them in my book bag.
Whoa. Now I am actually truly impressed.
Right? I, like, opened up this beautiful hardbound sketchbook that Roddy got me for Christmas because it was a hard surface that could protect those dainty, like, terrible, fudgeable pages of those pristine comic books that I had just purchased for you, but that now I kind of feel like I don't want to send you because you're a dick.
I don't think it would matter either way, though. Don't you have a big stack of other stuff to send me?
I do. It's all wrapped, though. Yeah. I mean...
That's wonderful.
It looks like if you were here, like, for an event, I don't know, like an expo of sorts,
right.
If you were here in town, there are so many things for you to open and enjoy, some of which, yes, was from, October. I don't know if I mentioned that I went to New York Comic Con in October.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, look forward to that. Maybe in... June.
Sounds great.
Anything else that you want to make fun of me for?
No, we can save it all for next week.
Awesome. I miss you.
Thank you. I miss you. We're going to see each other soon at Emerald City if you help me get myself prepared for that.
Oh, God. Guys, yeah, Aaron's going to Emerald City this year, so heads up. You've been warned.
And we can talk about what I will not be doing at Emerald City at a later show.
Think that this is gonna be awesome.
We'll see how it goes.
I look forward to talking to you about comics in the near future.
Yeah, maybe in a week or so.
We'll see.
All right, well,
thanks to all of you for listening to another episode of Comics Therapy. Don't forget to pre-order your comics at your local shop and subscribe to them digitally, and then you should read them, because, like, that's really the part that we all enjoy, right? So I'm gonna go do that now.
Okay.
Show notes and other details are on our site, as always, comicstherapy.com. Hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
You don't know my name. You don't know anything about me. I've tried to play nice. I want to be in your game. The things that you say, You may think I never hear about them, but word travels fast. I'm telling you to your face. I'm standing here behind your back. You don't know how it feels to be outside the crowd. You don't.